Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in for another episode of Tapping the Plate here on the 435 Podcast Network. You can find it all up at 610sports.com. Make sure to like, subscribe, download, do all the fun stuff we do here because we, of course, want you to listen to our once-a-month long-form interviews. We've had Hunter Dozier and Nicky Lopez on. This month, it is Brad Keller. Brad, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. You're one of the players that obviously people have gotten to know, but had to do in like a truncated time frame.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's still a lot we don't know about you as kind of a person. I feel like everything we've learned has kind of been about you on the field. Do you feel like you're still kind of getting to know everybody? Still trying to get a lay of the land? Because it was a kind of a whirlwind getting to the big leagues.
Yeah. Last year, it was super crazy getting there, and the whole year just kind of flew by really quickly. And this year has been a lot better as far as like settling down and actually getting to know people and understanding like what people do in their jobs around the ballpark and around baseball. So this year has been a lot better, but definitely still trying to learn stuff.
Everybody's a little bit different. Are you the like shake everybody's hand on the way through, like try to get to know everybody kind of guy, or is it just like I got to get to business? Does it depend on game day, I guess?
I start every fifth day, so those 4 days I have nothing really else to do. So definitely like meeting new people and shaking hands and getting to talk to people.
Let's start with some of the baseball stuff before I ask you some of the other stuff. Just when you go back to where you were and just kind of how the season's gone for you in general, I know you've talked a little bit about that path. Like, I didn't really think anybody was going to call the Rule 5, but then you did, and then you're like, well, now I got to stick, and then you do, and then you're like, well, now I got to stick in the rotation, and then you do. And then coming into this year, you know, what were expectations versus reality? And, like, we talk about things like, it's harder the second year versus the first because the adjustments. Was that something you were anticipating kind of coming into the year for this?
You always anticipate adjustments. You know, that's every single season, especially facing the same guys the second time around. You just got to kind of roll with the punches, I guess. You know, what you just learn day by day and just keep getting better every single day. And, the adjustment period kind of hit me pretty quickly in probably early April, middle of April. So I was able to learn a lot of stuff through there and then kind of steady the ship a little bit. And now we're going back through some stuff. So, you know, it's the grind of a season. And, you know, like I said, just got to keep getting better every day and just listen to your body and go out there and perform.
And that's, I guess, that's kind of a weird switch. Like, they talk about that from, like, high school to the pros, like, that being a really hard switch. All of a sudden, like, baseball's the only thing you do.
Yeah.
But then in the big leagues, there's even another stage of that because just the sheer amount you have to pitch. Is that a harder adjustment than maybe you thought? Like, 30 starts every 5 days over the course of the season. Is that harder than maybe even you maybe anticipated for that?
I guess if you look at it, like, step back and look at it as, like, a whole, you're just, like, kind of get overwhelmed by it. But I feel like in the moment, like, during the season, when you just kind of go day by day, it doesn't seem like – I think I just had my 17th or 18th start. It does not feel like that at all.
Yeah.
The days kind of start rolling together, and you just kind of go day by day. And, I can't even believe it's July and almost the All-Star break. If you look at it as a whole, it'd definitely be overwhelming. Like, you try to get 200 innings, try to get 30-plus starts in a season, and then, the guys go in the postseason. I mean, it definitely seems like a lot, but whenever you're going through it, you just kind of listen to your body and just kind of go day by day.
When you start going through the regular stuff, you're one of the younger guys on the team. I think sometimes people are like you and Mondesi and Nicky, like you guys all kind of fall in that same age group.
Yeah.
Do they give you a hard time for being the young guy?
No.
Are there things that come with that, or is it baseball's okay? Everyone just kind of.
I think more of the stuff that comes with that is like off the field stuff, as far as you know, the older guys throwing out movies, and they're like, have you ever seen this? And you're like, no. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're so young. Like, what is wrong with you? How have you never seen this movie? That's mainly where the young part.
Does one stand out? Like one of the movies they were giving you a particularly hard time about? This feels like something you guys do on the plane.
Yeah. I mean, there's, honestly, it's every single time they say a movie quote. I mean, I can't even name half the movies that they throw at me because I haven't seen them. So, yeah, I mean, that's really where the younger status comes in. It's just them, you know, heckling us about, you know, not knowing much, and then being the whole millennials and always on our phones and all that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, it's all in fun, but it's pretty funny.
You know, it can work the other way. Homer Bailey actually pitched against both Vladimir Guerrero Sr.
Yeah.
And Biggio's, Kevin Biggio's dad. So it can go both ways, right? He pitched against someone's dad who's in the league.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually talking to him about that yesterday while we were in the dugout, and I was like, I mean, how weird is that for you? Like, you've literally faced against his dad. Granted, that was his rookie season, but still, it's like you've been in the league for as long as his son has grown up
kid to come
and come all the way through the minor leagues and then now in the big leagues. Like, that's, I mean, one, that's a testament to him. I mean, that's really impressive to do, to be in the league for that long. And it's got to be really cool.
You mentioned movies. Since you don't see all the old ones, obviously you guys have, like, you mentioned the four starts, and then you have downtime on the plane.
Yeah.
Is that, like, do you stick with Netflix for that stuff, or you get through, like, more recent movies now? How do you usually handle that time?
I'm kind of a weirdo about that. I don't really watch TV, so that's another reason why I get, because I don't watch The Office, I don't watch any of the TV shows, so I know that I get a hard time from that, too. But, I just kind of, you know, I'll watch a lot of baseball whenever I get home, or I'll, like, read or something like that in my downtime. But
what kind of stuff do you – I know you do the crosswords.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff do you read?
I like biographies, autobiographies, biographies. I think they're really fascinating to see, like, people's journeys all the way to the top, especially in baseball. One of my favorites is Mariano Rivera's book, you know, just to see his journey from when he was a little kid all the way to, you know, Hall of Famer. So it was awesome.
You've got, you know, like, your story's obviously different than others, including Mariano Rivera's, but you come from, like, kind of a quiet town in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
And I imagine there, it's like, wow, you're the guy who came through and made the bigs, right? When you go back to, like, do you miss small town living a little bit? Do you miss kind of the I guess what would be, like, a more sleepy town in that regard? Do you miss some of that, like, small town Georgia?
Oh, for sure. You know, it's where I grew up. It's home, you know, so that secluded quietness, like, that's, yeah, that's kind of my personality, I feel like, sometimes. And it's always nice to, you know, step back and get away and go back to that kind of mentality. So, you know, it's good for, you know, anyone to get there. And so I kind of bring that here, you know, being in a city, being in, you know, playing baseball in a big city, is you got to kind of sometimes step back and remember your roots and kind of go back to that quiet, secluded place.
How much of your family still lives in the town you grew up in?
My parents still do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have, and this is one of those things, like, you know, like, even just like art, I'll look up things about Brad. I'll try to figure out, like, some of the small things, like, how many siblings do you have?
Yeah. I have an older brother.
Okay.
2 years older than me. We're really close. I'm actually going to hang out with him for the All-Star break. So.
Okay. And what part of the, you know, country does he live in?
So he just moved back down to Atlanta from Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
So yeah, he's back home. And we're going to Florida for the All-Star break. So
is he the one? See, now I just assume 2 year older brother. I had siblings like that.
Yeah,
those are the guys who would work me over in baseball when I was a kid to try to, and you would like it's really hard to strike out someone who's 2 years older than you, even if you're probably as good as you were at that age. Was he a tough competitor for you back then in the baseball world?
Really in any world of video games, you know, backyard baseball, backyard football. You know, we both grew up playing football and baseball together, so. We were always kind of going at it. When I remember, his practices were always later than mine. So whenever I would be done, my dad coached for him. So he would bring me over and put me in their practice.
Oh, no.
And yeah, it was a way to toughen me up, I guess. But, it's always been a competitive nature between me and him. So, you know, even now, like, we'll just, you know, just talk and whatever. And it always seems, whenever we go on vacation or something, it always seems to become like a competition about just, you know, little stuff. I mean, it's a lot of fun and we get along really well. And he's always been one to push me, especially, like, you know, off season training and working out, like, coming up through high school and even now. So
does he, I mean, do you guys talk a lot during the season then?
Mm-hmm,
I mean, just whether, you know, just no matter what, he's kind of the guy you lean on to to give a call to, yeah. no matter kind of the circumstances?
Yeah, for sure. You know, he went and played college football, so he knows the kind of the daily grind.
Where at?
College of Mount St. Joseph. I think it's Mount St. Joseph University now.
Okay.
But it's in Cincinnati, Ohio. So yeah, he kind of knows the locker room and everything like that scene, and knows the competitive nature, knows the ups and downs of, you know, the game, whether it be football or baseball. So he's always kind of a guy that I'll call, and you know, if things aren't going great, he's always seems to have the right words.
When just, you know, that relationship and all of that going in there, you said you played football together a lot. What position did you play? Obviously, you've got an arm, so we always just think quarterback, right?
Yeah.
But you've been a pretty big high school quarterback.
Yeah, no, I actually I was the tight end, but okay. we ran the spread offense, so I was technically a receiver,
okay.
but my routes consisted of like running 5 yards and turn around and catch the ball, basically. Yeah, I didn't necessarily have the speed to be a wide receiver, so I looked like a baby giraffe trying to run. So that's kind of
you know, like that's a good way to describe it. I'm probably no different now. When you go back through, I remember reading at least a little bit about, like, we were talking about how you came up and just that process of, like, you know, when you first got scouted, it was because you struck out Clint Frazier in
yeah.
the game. And they're like, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
We already know this kid's going to go really high. What about the person who's able to strike him out,
yeah.
right? And so when you first start getting that recognition, back then, were you thinking about, like, small-time college football or anything like your brother, or was it – was baseball always kind of the forefront sport for you?
Baseball is always kind of the way I thought I was going to be able to go play at the next level.
Sure.
And when all that went down, I was already signed to Presbyterian College in South Carolina. And so I was basically going out there, like, you know, trying to enjoy my senior year. You know, it's my last year in high school.
You already know where you're
going
to go
play.
Yeah,
I already know where I'm going on to the next level. And I was just trying to go out there and, you know, win some ball games. And I knew, like, Clint Frazier was in our region. Everyone knew he was going,
sure.
you know, top 10 picks or – we also had Travis DeMeritt in our region. He's another guy that ended up going 30th overall that same year. So, you know, we had a really strong region, and we just basically, as our team, Fire Branch, like, we just wanted to, you know, make the playoffs. You know, it's our senior year. We've been together for – we had a really good senior class. And so, you know, able to go out there and perform against those guys and ended up getting views from it, like, which is
– Sure.
Which is wild. But yeah, it's kind of crazy how it all worked out, and when it was all going down, I didn't believe it, honestly.
You're a top 10 round pick. I mean, you know,
kind
of came quick.
Yeah, real quick. And whenever my head coach came up to me, he was like, "There's some, like, questionnaires for you," and I was like, "I mean, this was probably early April, and the draft's in June, so it's like." I was like, "There's no way. Like, they probably think I'm like a junior or something, maybe." And he's like, "No, like, I think they're serious about it." Sure enough, they were. Like, it was wild. But
I mean, once you got drafted that high, I mean, it was probably still hard. I mean, you were probably still tempted to go the college route. A lot of guys do.
Yeah.
You know, what was the deciding factor there when you're like, you know what, I'm going to, like, it's pro baseball.
Yeah.
That's the drive. But did you consider going to college at that time?
We considered it. Yeah. And then it's kind of funny. My college coaches came down after they kind of heard around that I was getting looked at. They came down and sat down with me and my family, and they're like, you know, listen, like, it's kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity, like, if the money's right, if the, you know, the draft position, yeah. And so whenever I got drafted, I remember the pitching coach called me, and he was like, "Man, we'd love to have you at Presbyterian, but we know you're not coming." So he kind of made that decision easier for us, and you know, I still keep in contact with him all the time, and so they're really supportive of me and my decision, so it was awesome.
So it's a small school that you were considering. You grew up in Georgia. Were you a Georgia Bulldog or Jackets fan? Are you Georgia or Georgia Tech?
Georgia fan.
Okay, everyone has to decide there. I don't think you get to not have a side. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So you were always a Georgia guy.
So I get crap for this all the time in the locker room. I am a Michigan fan and a Georgia fan.
Okay.
So,
well, at least they're two different conferences. I'll give
you that. Yeah, but everyone's like, yeah, but they're Power Five, like top five teams every year. You're like, you can't like both of them. And it's like, no. So, like, there's a story behind it. Whenever I was a little kid, before I liked anyone, my aunt and uncle live just outside of Ann Arbor.
Okay.
And so, when I was probably honestly like 4 or 5 years old, right when I got into sports too. So,
sure.
We went up there to visit them. one winter, and it was snowing and everything. And at the time, they left gates open to the big house, so anyone was allowed to go down there at any time. And so we ran down on the field, sprinted all over the field, did snow angels at the 50-yard line, like just incredible experience. And then we went to a hockey game and a basketball game.
Okay.
And so like that was my first.
You got hooked. You were 4 or 5.
I was like, I mean, that's first time being involved in sports, and let alone first time to see a college. Like, I was just like, this is awesome. And so I fell in love with Michigan. After that, like, room decorated Michigan, everything was Michigan. And then, you know, once living in Georgia, you got to pick one. And so so I became a Georgia fan as well. And then one of my good friends, he played for Georgia the last 4 years. So it was fun watching him and watching the team succeed and go to the national championship and all that stuff. So
who do you root for when they play each other?
Oh, see, that's kind of the question. That's I just said I'm not going to watch it. There's no way.
You're like, just like a parent with the jersey that's
yeah,
the same.
Like split it right down the middle. Yeah.
Okay.
I literally, I don't think I'd turn on the game. I'd just be like, oh, just tell me who wins later. Like, I'll be happy either way. Like, I'll be happy and sad. Like,
Mentioned the pitching stuff while growing up, and we're doing Tapping the Plate. If you like the conversations, please always like, subscribe, and download the 435 Podcast Network at 610sports.com. You mentioned running like a baby giraffe and all that stuff. If you weren't, what position did you play when you weren't pitching?
I played right field until my sophomore year of high school, and then they moved me to first base.
Okay, you switched to first. Yeah. I was curious, like, what position do you play?
Yeah.
How were you? Were you a good hitter?
No, awful.
Man, even in high school, it's usually just like, I know, everybody's that's good at all of it, because you're like, oh, he's a great athlete, so he'll be good.
Yeah, I talked to everyone. They're always like, man, I raked in high school. I was so good a hitter. I was like, that's not me. No, I just...
you do hear that from a lot of pitchers, man. They get excited when BP's coming around. Like, Duffy gets... really excited. Was like, NL team, picks up his bat, gets a little cage.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah. Everyone gets really pumped. I mean, I get pumped too. I mean, just because it's fun, but I'm not good. I don't know why. Like, I just never really had the patience to like practice at hitting. I don't know. I knew I wasn't good at it, and I just like was like, I'd much rather just go pitch or just go play the field or something. But yeah, I mean, I enjoy it now just because, you know, it's different kind of
talk about a challenge
nature,
now. Like, yeah. If it was hard in high school, I can't even imagine.
I know. So
at this level,
2 years ago, it was in Double A with the Diamondbacks. We had to hit, and it took me all the way till my last AB of my Double A season to get my first hit.
The full season.
I struck out so many times. I was like embarrassed, and I finally got a hit. And so last year we were in Pittsburgh, and it was my first AB, or it was my first National League game. Yeah. It took me 2 ABs to get my first hit. And everyone was like, because they had a bets going around the clubhouse, like, who's going to get their first hit? Because everyone would watch our BP, and I was dead last on everyone's list. They're like, no way. And
no, sure
enough,
you.
Sure enough, I shot one through the four hole for my first hit, and it was awesome. I came in, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah, it was hilarious. But.
Who's the best hitting pitcher? You've been through BP with those guys.
Yeah.
Who's the best?
Junis can swing it really well.
Okay.
So can Sparky. We were in Toronto hitting BP. And
Sparkman looks like the kind of guy that can swing it.
Sparky, I mean, he swings the bat just like how he pitches, like just whips the stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impressive. It's funny. We were like, all right, first round, like nice and easy, like just kind of feel the swing. Guy puts like 2 out into the stands, and we were like, nice and easy swings, huh? He's just like, I'm sorry, I can't help it. Like, he's both of those guys can swing it pretty well. I haven't seen Homer Duffy hit this year yet, but
okay.
I'm sure Homer, I mean, he played 10 years in the National League. I'm sure he can swing it a little
bit. I'm sure he's by now you would think that.
Yeah, yeah.
And all even right. Like, you're like, I just want some odds. That's all you're saying. If you're like, I just want a little odds.
Yeah.
Swing.
Yeah. Seriously. I mean, I'm telling you, like, I'm dead last on everyone's list as far as getting hits. Like, I'm not. And we got one coming up, you know, my next start, it's a National League game. So
I know.
It's going to be fun.
Can't wait. I wish you luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Listen, I wasn't a good hitter either. I just also wasn't a good pitcher. So you have me beat on all categories. The last time, actually, we were at FanFest. And without warming up, we tried to see how fast we could throw, me and another guy, since we were out there.
Yeah.
62 was it.
62?
That was
without warming up.
That's not bad, right?
That's pretty good.
I mean,
no warm-ups?
I feel like maybe I could get to like 68.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe 70 with some training.
Top 70, yeah.
Not good anymore. Even then, not that good. Some of the other, you know, stuff that, like, people just, you know, like, we know that Danny Duffy has a dog. Mm-hmm. Like, we know some of these personal things about him.
Yeah.
Pet guy? Do you have animals? You grew up in Georgia and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, on some property a little bit. So.
Yeah, always, you know, we always had dogs in my house. you know, growing up, had two yellow labs, big yellow labs, and love dogs, love them to death. I mean, I want one right now, but
the
I know, yeah, I'd just be torture to the dog if, you know, just how much we travel and never around, really. And my parents, they have two back home, so I can't kind of push it off to them because that wouldn't be fair to
and
them.
And then just pick it up in the off season.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They told me when I was talking to them about it, they're like, don't even think about doing that because... they're like, absolutely not. I was like, all right, yeah, you're right. But yeah, I'm a big dog person.
Some people would have maybe a girlfriend who would be in that situation. Is dating hard with your schedule?
It is. You know, just because you travel so much, not really on your phone, especially,
sure.
You know, we're always at the field and constantly doing stuff. It's just not many people understand the schedule, so it's kind of difficult.
With people, I mean, I don't understand that whole part of it, but yeah. I imagine it's a time-consuming schedule. Some guys, you know, they've, like, dated the same girl
yeah.
that whole stretch and
yeah.
to the minors, and then, like, they're switching city. Like, I see this, and I'm like, man, I can't.
Yeah.
You gotta be.
I mean, credit to the wives and girlfriends. I mean, they go through, you know, probably more than we do because, you know, especially if they have families. Like,
sure.
The guys on this team, like.
Dozier with two little kids?
Yeah, yeah, a one-week-old. Like, that's,
yeah.
I mean. She's a trooper for what she's doing, especially him always being on the road, and you know, just it's really tough for them, and for them to do what they do is it's awesome.
How many dates do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Okay.
No.
You go on several dates a year? Like what's even what's the math on it for you? This isn't to embarrass you.
No, feel free
not to answer. No big deal.
I don't know. I mean it's just tough. I mean like for example, we're home for 3 days now. Like you can't really even find time now because it's
no.
like.
Well, All-Star break might
yeah,
be your best
yeah,
chance to go see your
break.
Brother.
Yeah, and I'm going to be gone. So it's just kind of tough because, you know, whenever we get home from games, it's, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. So, you know, no time there. And then you want to sleep in or you want to get your rest. So there's no time in the mornings. And it's just like.
It's off-season or nothing.
Yeah, basically.
Do you live in KC?
No.
Okay.
I live back home in Georgia.
Okay.
So,
I wasn't sure. Just just out of, you know. Because people spend all of their time in different places. Obviously, you live here during the season.
Yeah.
Because that takes up. A lot of time.
yeah.
So that would be too much.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a couple things about some of the guys you play with.
Okay.
Since you're getting to know them just the same.
Mm-hmm.
These can be real quick answers. I don't
All
have
right.
big, long answers for
yeah.
them. Who wins in a wrestling match between Hunter Dozier and Alex Gordon?
Gordo, 100%.
Gosh, everyone. Yeah. I think even Dozier might answer for him.
Yeah. Gordo, at his age, he is probably in the best shape I've ever seen anyone. Like, he's just, I mean...
Do you take training
jacked.
Tips from him? No one can do what he does.
No.
I've already put that to the side. Like,
yeah.
You think about training with Gordon? No, because
no
one would do that to themselves.
No, he's an animal in the weight room and, you know, eats super clean and just really best shape I've ever
yeah.
seen anyone.
So Gordon's the answer for that.
Yeah.
Other than yourself, who has the best hair on the team?
I don't know. Mine's pretty... I'm just kidding.
it's okay to appreciate your own.
Probably Wit. Wit's hair is pretty good.
Very clean.
Yeah,
he's
always like, even like he takes off his hat, it's like still styled. And it's like, how do you do that?
Feels like he gets a haircut every day. I've never seen a different length over
yeah.
the course of
yeah, that's what
the
it seems
entire
like.
Season.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how it looks for you guys. It just feels like it always looks exactly the same.
Yeah, always. And even like I said, you know, he can go for a swim, come out, and hair's perfect. It's like, dude, like, do you have just like permanent gel in your hair or something?
And now he gets to be an all-star too.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
really going his way, isn't it?
Yeah, seriously.
Not who's the best golfer. I've gotten that answer from a couple of guys. Just who's the most fun to be out on the golf course with?
I feel like we're all a lot of fun just to be around.
Sure.
We all went out
golfing.
Do
you rank middle of the pack as far as skill?
On this team, I'm bottom of the pack.
Man.
We got some good golfers out there. I mean... We were playing in Toronto, and we played a really tough course, and these guys blew by me. I was just like, yeah, like, their scores are they're incredible. I'm lucky to shoot, like, lower 80s, and these guys are, like, mad if they shoot, like, 81. Like, I'd jump for joy
nice.
If I shoot an 81.
Yeah.
But,
You get better. That comes with time in the league, right?
Yeah, basically. I hope.
More time on the course.
Yeah.
So you think everybody's a pretty good time.
Yeah. Diekman's a lot of fun on the golf course. You know, Witt, Dozier, you know, KT, our trainer, Dale's
sure.
a lot of fun on the golf course as well. I mean, it's we all kind of gel together, especially on the golf course. You know,
so much time together already, right?
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Used there.
Yeah.
Baseball related question, kind of.
Okay.
Is ketchup on a hot dog okay? Yes or no?
No. Mustard. Mustard guy.
Mustard. Okay.
Mustard. Yeah.
That's not. I don't
like ketchup.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. Even as a kid, I felt like I went through like this, like phase where I like rebelled against what everyone else liked because I don't like chocolate. I don't like ketchup. I don't know. This is really weird.
Boy, are there some other? Those are two big ones.
Those are big ones. Yeah. Those are kind of the two things that, you know, I don't know. I like onions. I feel like not a lot of people like onions.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Onions and mustard. That's what you're
yeah,
going with.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I go on a hot dog. Okay. Onions and mustard. Or jalapenos if they're available. Oof.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
That's the southern kid in you, I
yeah,
think.
For sure.
Put jalapenos on everything.
Yeah.
I got a friend who's from Georgia. I feel like he puts jalapenos in a lot of different
absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely.
Just you know, from when you go out on the mound, do you do anything like this is the other quick one? Any habits? Do you count your steps going out there? Do you hum a song in your head? Is there anything you do going out there, or is it just a light jog for you?
It's a walk to the grass.
Okay.
It's a jog to the ball. It's a walk to the rosin.
Okay.
Pat on the two taps on the rosin, throw it down, and then
and then
pitch.
Throw?
Yeah.
I like it. Hey, everyone's got their own
yeah.
routine.
I feel like every year it changes for me, too. Like,
okay.
One year I had to walk a full circle around the mound. I don't know why. I just, like...
Started doing it?
Just started doing it out of the blue one day, and I was like, well, I guess that's what it's going to be this year. And so every inning I'd walk a full circle around the mound, then get on the mound, throw warm-up pitches. So... I like this one better because it's real quick and get on the mound. And plus, we have a little time limit now, too. So
yeah, that adds a little time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
How about nicknames? I've heard, you know, Big Brad, we've heard tossed around mm-hmm. a little bit. What about as a kid? Did you have anything besides Brad, or did they?
So me and my brother are both BK. So
okay.
I was Little BK. So to all of my brother's friends, I'm Little BK.
Still to this day,
still
right?
Still to this day, no matter what. If I see any of them, I'm always Little BK. To all my friends, I'm just BK, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
To all of your friends,
to all my
BK.
Friends my age, BK, anyone else like older?
We have a producer at 610 named BK. I'm gonna tell him like, sorry man,
so-
there's already a BK.
Yeah.
And you got here before him, so you're in
okay.
good shape. So you've already beat him at the BK.
All right. All right.
Last one, and then I'll let you get out of here. I really do appreciate all the time too,
yeah, of course.
As well. Just we hear about all that stuff through the minors, and I'll ask people about like the lifestyle and all of that. And I've got kind of a grasp on it, but how about just. The worst habit from a roommate you had in the minors. Are you the clean or the messy guy, I guess, first?
I'm the super clean guy.
Okay.
I'm like,
okay.
I don't know, paranoid about my room's always got to be clean. I don't know why. It's just,
sure.
I,
that's okay.
I like it because it's, you know, when people come see, they see just a clean apartment or whatever. But, yeah, the worst habit is probably I hate picking up after, like, people.
Okay.
And so,
sure.
I had some roommates that were just kind of messy all the time, and it just bothered me. But, you know, one of my best friends, so it only bothers you for like a few minutes.
Yeah,
and then
you get over it.
Yeah, basically.
Brad,
but,
best of luck in the second half of the season as well. We
thank
really
you.
Do appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
That's Brad Keller here on Tapping the Plate on the 435 Podcast Network. We'll do these once a month, so stay tuned for the next one. Like, subscribe, and download as well. We'll talk to you guys next month as well, or download previous episodes with both Nicky Lopez or Hunter Dozier. We thank you for the time. As always, we'll talk to you guys again here soon.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.